Mondays and Fridays, we get with Hall of Famer Mike Ditka from Chicago this morning. And Brother Johnny, taking a coin flip, New Orleans.
New Orleans, Louisiana.
Big lift over the weekend to go, okay?
Great. No, we're good. We're good. Yeah, a couple of decks, junk decks. We just moved them into a big lift cradle because they were falling apart. We got most of them in where we wanted. So.
Man, I don't know how you deal when you're talking about millions and millions and millions of pounds. It's crazy. Mike Ditka in Chicago last night on the Miss USA, which California won. Mike, they replayed a clip I think you made in 2001 where you were firing up the Miss USA candidates. It was funny stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm on my way today. I'm going out to L.A. today to do the final episode of a cameo of Entourage.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, we're going to fly out there with the people today, come back tomorrow. I'll do the thing tomorrow and come back tomorrow and go to Boston and Denver and then, you know, back. So I'm traveling all over this
weekend. I mean to tell you what, Johnny, I don't know about you, but he's ageless. He's ageless.
Moving along. Yeah. Well, that's great. I didn't see that. I want to do a commercial for Miss America, Mike.
I've never watched it.
Now, listen, is it distinguished here? Because I'm involved in Miss America and this is Miss USA and it's...
That's the Trump deal.
It's a Trump deal. And it's a lot different. They don't let the girls talk much. Because they shouldn't let the girls talk much, usually. But in any event, they Miss California, lovely lady, and she wins. But they showed it from 2001, and it was funny. Mike, you were telling them to fire up, get out there, and they're putting mouthpieces in. It was funny. It was just funny, and you had it going. It was really great. Okay, I got to
listen. I'm glad they keep reviving that stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, I want to ask you first off. We got to start out of the gate about Rory McIlroy. In 111 years of the U.S. Open, it's never happened, and this kid did it. 16 under par in the toughest test in golf. Unbelievable.
Well, of course, it's only one tournament, but I don't think I've ever seen a greater exhibition. When things were going good for him and when things weren't going good. I mean, this guy was solid as could be. I mean, his swing is something, guys. I mean, he pounds that ball out there. And, I was so happy for him. I tell you what, I think this, the golf community in this country has a new hero. I really do.
Well, he hit a golf. There's a par 3, number 10. And, of course, this is particularly interesting because he played in the Masters and was doing very well in basically fell apart on Sunday.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He comes up with this pressure. He still had a chance to blow it, and he hit a ball with a 6-iron within 1 foot of the hole on a par 3, and it's like, this is over, and it's over big, and you might be right, Mike. I'll tell you.
I think his personality lends to it. I mean, I think America is going to really hook on to this guy, and I think, you know, he's probably really big in Europe anyways already, but I think over here, people just knew as him as the guy who faltered at the Masters. Now, after watching this exhibition, listen now, I mean, as great as Tiger was and Jack and all of them, I'm just talking for one tournament.
Right.
I don't know that I've seen a better in one tournament. I'm not talking about history or how long it's going to happen or anything else. Just for one tournament for 4 days, he was pretty darn good.
Well, and this guy Jason Day got an 8-under. He would have won 109 of the U.S. Opens with that.
Absolutely.
He got it in the wrong one. It might have been a little easier, Steve, than a lot of the Opens because there were some pretty good shooting, but I don't think you can. All you can had to do is watch a few of that guy's swings. He's like a machine.
Well, and what's his swing speed? It's quick.
I don't know.
He's
I tell you what it is. Go ahead, Mike.
You watch his core. You watch the middle of his body.
Yeah.
And you watch the rotation on that. When he gets that club all the way back, and when he turns those hips, it's absolutely incredible. If I did that, I would hurt myself permanently. I mean, this guy, I mean, he's limber. He's young. 22 years old.
Yeah.
Come on. Guys, I mean, and the other kid's 26, Jason Day, and he is a heck of a golfer also.
Yeah.
I mean, he got up and down more than you're allowed to.
Unbelievable. You know, Steve, it's all about consistency, and the guy just did the same thing over and over. And I think of my swing, we call it the snowflake swing.
Yep.
No two alike.
Yep, so. I got the snowflake swing. That's okay. Hey, I wanted to mention, too, at the U of I Open, Nathaniel, my son, Mike, shot a 66 on Saturday. And we talk about a process of kind of living with the lead and sleeping with the lead and all these other things. And we didn't fare as well yesterday. He ended up finishing fourth. But I told him, I said, the fact that your mind now knows you can go low, and he had a chance. He was 7-under after 12, and I thought he might break the course record. But just the fact that your mind has to know that as an athlete before you can really get the thing done.
Well, that's exactly what he said last night. Roy, you know, he said he learned a lot from that. I mean, really. And then that's one thing Jack Nicklaus told him, too. He said, listen, you're going to be in this position again. You know, this is more your mind than anything else. He said, you've got the golf game.
Yeah. Anyway, it's process. Golf's a process, and we're sure seeing that with Roy. And I think with anybody else who plays golf, you just know that you have to go through certain situations to get better for the next time. But that's just how it's all wired for this sport. But an amazing performance over the weekend, and just a record-shattering day for Roy, weekend for Roy McIlroy. Amazing. We shift to this debate now. This is something I'm going to be talking about more after 8 o'clock this morning, Mike and Johnny. But prosecutors mulled whether to file charges against a college football player who got on an airplane at San Francisco International, had the low pants below his underpants, wouldn't pull up his pants. They arrested him, put him in jail for a day. And now the debate is on whether it was indecent, free speech. But the low pants on the ground song, all of that is now rearing its head about Deshaun Marmon, a defensive player for the University of New Mexico. But apparently the pants were below his buttocks, and he was arrested. Now they're saying, oh, it's racial profiling. Oh, it's indecent exposure. No, it's free speech. So the debate rages.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's lack of class on his part. You know, I don't care if that's your spouse. We're in a neighborhood when you're in a neighborhood, not when you're on an airplane or in an airport. You want to hang out with your buddies in a neighborhood and you want to act like that or dress like that, fine. That's not a problem. But don't do it in public. I mean, and that's what I really believe. So when he dresses like that, why is he doing that? Oh, to call attention to himself. Here I am. Look at this. Here, my butt's hanging out. Come on. I mean, come on. You know, you can beat around the bush. You can say it's racial profiling. You can say they're picking on black people. You can say anything you want to say, but they're not. What he did is absolutely wrong, period.
Well, and it doesn't – it's wasting a lot of energy going to mat over something like that. There's a certain decorum we'd like to try to keep to. Like Mike says, you can do anything you want, but you have to have some discretion, and you got to be accountable for what you're doing. They didn't want him wearing his pants like that. He should have pulled his pants up. You know, now he's got this cause.
Yeah,
I want
right.
to wear my pants
yeah.
below my butt. Right. Okay, so that's not a great cause. There's a lot of causes we probably could use. A lot of time wasted on something like that.
All right, Rick Perry made a speech over the weekend. He said America should stop apologizing. Will the governor of Texas get in the race?
Well, I tell you what, you know, this is one state economically and financially that's done pretty well. I mean, his policies are pretty solid. So I'm going to say, listen, I don't know. I think there's too daggone many candidates on the Republican side right now. I think somebody's got to step to the forefront. And I don't know who that is, but Rick Perry, after listening to him, he's interesting.
They're all, you know, they've all got something to say, and of course it's still early, so they'll all be hanging around for a while, and then it'll cool down pretty quick because it takes a lot of money and it takes a lot of time to do these things. Perry's a good governor. I've met him. He went to University of Texas A&M College Station, and he's a smart, well-spoken man. I think of course Texas is a great state,
but they're economically, John. I mean,
it's booming.
The policies that they have down there right now are better than any other state in the country right now. They're not like Illinois and New York and New Jersey and California. I mean, they're actually make sense. I mean, they have a balanced budget, I believe.
And I'll tell you too, Mike, it's interesting about Texas. They're the only, they claim they're a republic, and they're the only state in the union who entered under the condition that they could leave anytime they want.
Really?
So they've got a little bit of a, they can get a little chippy, Steve. They're independent. But good place to be. I love Texas.
Yeah,
and Rick Perry, will he get in? Boy, like Mike said, a lot of people. But
can he raise the money? That's his biggest concern. Is he too late to get in there?
No, I don't think it's too late because
no, it's not too late. It's not too late. Somebody, I mean, listen, everybody's looking for something. Yeah, come on. For somebody to lead them, to somebody to stand up and say the right thing, do the right thing. So, no, it's not too late at all.
Well, you know what they're going to say about him. It's going to be Bush 3, right? I mean, that's...
Well, but that's fine. I don't know that's...
There's a lot of people that like Bush 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Right.
That is we're not talking about a liberal media now. We're talking about America. You know, to elect a father and a son president, evidently there were a lot of people who kind of liked him, who they were, what they stood for. So
yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah,
there was a very close race every time, and there's a lot of people who still support the Bushes, and there's probably more now looking back after what you can jump from the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah.
And I don't think that'll hurt him. I think he's with Mitt Romney winning, that just kind of says, well, there's no new kind of superstar. Hey, maybe Perry's the guy. Who knows? Like Mike said, somebody's going to probably take off here.
Let's go back and think about the guy who's in the White House right now, where he came from 5 years ago. Come on. Out of nowhere. He was a guy that could have been not even been elected if I would have ran.
Well, and you know what? This is a guy, Barack Obama, was at the LAX airport where 2002 had his credit card denied. I mean, so that's how fast things can change. I mean, so 2004, he's a senator. 2006, he's... or 80s running. I mean, whatever the dates and timings were, from Illinois senator playing poker with Bill Brady on Tuesday nights to president of the United States, it's mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling.
I think that was Wednesday night, Steve.
Wednesday night? Anyway. Okay, whatever. Anyway, Libya's government says NATO warplane struck a residential neighborhood in the capital Sunday. So that's going to happen in these things. But what's the policy in Libya? Because I haven't heard. Does anybody know what we're supposed to be doing?
Well, I think NATO's in charge.
I don't know. We're trying to bring down Gaddafi. That's all I know. So, I mean, and, you know, we say you bring down Gaddafi, you got the rebels. Are the rebels any better? I don't know. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, people have to explain to me. I just don't really understand what's going on. But if you're going to do something and you start it initially, finish it. That's all. If you're going to start it, finish it.
Well, again, right now Gaddafi's still in. I don't know how that's going. It kind of hasn't been a top story, has it, Steve?
No, you don't hear a lot about it. But yet, if a residential neighborhood was hit, believe me, that would be the lead story for 4 days if Bush were president. It's just unbelievable that, first of all, we don't know what we're doing. I think we're supposed to get rid of Muammar Gaddafi, but you can't fight something like this with 1 foot in, can you? That's what we've learned, I thought.
Well, it's a NATO-run operation, which is one thing I disagree with, which is just kind of turning.
But we're NATO, aren't we NATO?
Well, we are, but we're just part of NATO. We're not running the military operation, to my knowledge. So that may be why it's not in the news, but that is news, that we are now just a part of some sort of a strategy that, like, none of us three can figure it out. But
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't either. 747, Johnny and Mike here for about 10 more minutes here on 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. We'll take a break and be right back with Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny on the new Connect FM. Hall of Famer Mike Ditka, my brother John, always Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, we discuss issues of the world. NBC, when they opened up back to the golf tournament, the U.S. Open, NBC did kind of a patriotic open. It was a two-minute open. It showed children reading and doing the Pledge of Allegiance, hands on their heart, but they cut out "Under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance. NBC has released a statement this morning that says, "We apologize for the omission. We didn't want to offend anybody." More politically correct stuff, Mike?
Absolutely. It's ridiculous. And all you got to do is watch MSNBC. You'll understand it.
Well,
it's way too liberal. Way, way too liberal. You talk about left. Come on. It's ridiculous.
What's interesting to me is the statement they don't want to offend anyone. Leaving that in would
people.
They offended 70% of the country.
Oh,
cut
absolutely.
It out. What is that?
That's the common sense statement they make, which is stupid. So you offend the majority to appease a couple of the minority. Get out of here.
And One Nation Under God, I don't even think would offend more than, what, a smattering. That's just not going to offend very many people.
Well, these eggheads would want you to say, "One nation under the sky, under the birds." Come on, stop it, will you? These people are idiots.
Well, yeah. The One Nation Under God, it actually has...
These people are—it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, to cower to this type of behavior and these type of and compromise with these people to me is shameful. I mean, just think if our forefathers would have done that. Just think where the hell we'd be in this country.
Well,
today.
We wouldn't have made one nation under God means yeah. some sort of reverence, a search for truth. It doesn't necessarily mean a certain denomination. It just says we're gonna try to do the right things here. That's what that says to me. And to cut it out means no, we're not. It's every man for himself, and we're going to undermine this deal. It's almost just picking on guys like us. And we sucker for it every time, but there's nobody going to be offended by leaving it in. It's when you take it out that you offend everybody.
That's NBC, and then that's, again, if all you got to do is watch MSNBC, you understand.
Yeah.
You know, when you start watching that, you're talking about really a liberal view, and you can't be all things to all people. Try to be true to yourself and true to your country.
Well, that's what Rick Perry said over the weekend. He said, stop apologizing. The left are never going to like us. Let's move forward and say what we believe.
Yeah. Well, I think that's exactly right. I really believe it bottom of my heart. That's why I think this guy has a chance. Yeah. You know, like I said, if the other guy could win in 04, why did they have a chance?
Yeah.
Right. No, if Obama did it and Perry, anybody like that could still come along. Yeah. He's a likable guy.
All right, over the weekend, also, the golf outing, it was Kasich from Ohio and Biden in a golf match against Boehner and Barack Obama. Apparently, Boehner's a 7, so obviously the president got the best player. Didn't Dwight Eisenhower do that with Bob Jones?
Actually, Boehner plays at Old Florida down in where we belong, down in Florida a lot.
No kidding.
Yeah, he got a group. There's a group down there from Ohio that are members, and he plays with them quite a bit. He is a pretty good golfer.
Well, if I was president, I'd have got him too, Steve.
Yeah.
How'd they come out?
I think Barack Obama and the speaker beat Biden and Kasich, as it should be, right? The president.
Yeah, that's probably right.
President, you want the president.
If they didn't win, they ought to write it that way anyways.
Yeah. Well, I think it was. Didn't Eisenhower really tell, you know, they paired, you know, went golfing all the time with Bobby Jones, didn't he? I think Dwight
Well, I tell you what, no one played more golf. No president ever played more golf than Dwight Eisenhower.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a member of Augusta, and he played a lot of golf. Now, you know, George Bush Sr. and Jr., they played too. But, I mean, you think back, Clinton plays. I mean, I can't remember. I don't think Reagan was much of a golfer. I don't think he played very much. I know Truman didn't. I can't remember. I know Abe Lincoln didn't play.
I'm not going to go there and say you knew Abe Lincoln. I won't do that to you.
I did. Listen, I've been around before, you know.
Hey, listen, one more time. You're going to be on the cameo on Entourage. Is that right?
Yeah, and I don't really know what it is. They haven't told me a whole lot. I'm going to go, and like I said, I mean, it's probably a walk. Actually, he told me I'm supposed to try to give somebody a pep talk. But, you know, I'm all out of pep talks.
I don't know.
You
I don't
still
think
got
so.
Some,
no.
some left. One thing, Stevie, that... say some prayers for Danny Werfel. He's got this Guillain-Barré syndrome, and he's, you know, good friend of Mike's and been on the air with us, Steve, and just got hit with this nerve disease.
What is it? What is it?
It's a thing that kind of works on your nervous system. He's predicted to recover, but it's tough. It's serious, and he's working back.
Yeah, it's not good. That's what William Perry has.
Really?
And he's recovered significantly, but, you know, it still affects him. There's no question about that. But that's exactly what William has.
I'll be done.
And I'll tell you, Danny's a great guy, so put him in your
that.
Prayers.
Well, you give my best to Danny when you talk to him. I'll say a prayer for him.
You got it.
Mike, thanks.
Listen, guys, I appreciate your time.
Am I allowed to say prayer on the air?
Yeah, you can say prayer on the air. You can say God God on the air, and yes, the Lord on the air. You can do all of that here, that's for sure. Hey, listen,
right.
Mike's going to be on a plane. We're going to figure out a schedule for Friday, Johnny, but thanks, guys, for being on.
All right,
well,
guys,
it's always fun.
Thank you. Thank you. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. Boy, do we talk about everything, don't we? I don't know what we missed this morning. We go around and around and around. We love having them both on. My brother John, of course, from here, civil engineering graduate, University of Illinois, and now because of his work in engineering and heavy lift in the oil and gas business, he's been recently inducted in the National Academy of Sciences, adjunct professor, University of Illinois. Some great honors, long list of honors. And, of course, Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer. An icon, all-around great guy. Always a pleasure. Really appreciate their time. at this spot Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8 on the new 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Okay, I'm going to get into the baggy pants debate. We'll get into that in just a few moments. We're going to do Fox News. That's coming up next. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I am Stevie J. It is Monday, June 20. Rain on radar. We'll be back with more on that coming up as well. Fox News update your way in a minute. 7:59 on the new 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.